An examination of the women of medieval Wales is complicated by the fact that after the 1060s, Wales was a divided world, part occupied by the Normans, who had poured in over the border from conquered England, and elsewhere governed by Welsh rulers. The area occupied by these foreign lords is known as the March of Wales, or the Welsh Marches, although the extent of Welsh and foreign power in Wales ebbed and flowed across the Middle Ages, as first one group and then the other got the upper hand. Gradually, too, the English king strengthened his hold over the native rulers of Wales, so that they, like the Marcher lords, owed allegiance to the king as their overlord. But what this division between Welsh and non-Welsh in Wales means is that, broadly speaking, we have two groups of women, or women of two different backgrounds. Those we might call native, that is, culturally and mostly ethnically Welsh, and who lived under the rule of native kings and princes. During the Middle Ages, there were many Welsh rulers, not just one, as we see in England. In Welsh Wales, or Pura Walia as it is known, there were few, if any, non-Welsh women, because communities were not much mixed. And then there were those women who belonged to the groups of Normans, Flemish, English and the like, who moved into the occupied territories, the Marcher Lordships, as they were called. There were also Welsh women here, for Marcher communities were far more mixed, but only a minority in this group would have been subject directly to Welsh rule. The key questions asked by historians of women tend to be about their position and rights in and contributions to contemporary society, typically as opposed to the position and rights of their male counterparts, but also according to their social status. Social status had an important part to play not only in the life experiences of medieval women, but also of how much we today can see of them. Increasingly, too, historians of women tend to ask questions about locality. That is, how living in certain regions, counties, cities, lordships, or whatever, affected women's lives. In our case, we can learn much by starting with the question of what it means to be a Welsh woman in medieval Wales, and how things compared to their neighbours in the March of Wales and in England. It pays to be wary of an Anglo-centric approach to British history, of making England the norm and everywhere else better or worse. But on occasions, comparative perspectives can bear fruit, particularly since in the March of Wales, a peculiar mix of Welsh, English and unique marcher practices can be found.